The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone. When he's not on the microphone, he's playing a song. And when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone. And then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
Good news.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it's going to take him to put it in, but good morning. Good
morning.
Hopefully, if not tomorrow, the next day, we're going to have a Fire Stick hooked up on that TV. Oh, I told you that.
Yeah, you did.
So we can watch Masters coverage. That's really what it's all about.
The game of golf.
What was the other thing? I had something else, too. But good morning. Welcome in. It is a Tuesday. The Kings are playing today, so it is a game day Tuesday. More importantly, Town visits Preston North End today. Relegation battle, 1 point outside of it. Big, big match today.
I really like North Preston.
More importantly?
You know, here's the funny thing. I'll tell you this much. Now, obviously, nobody here cares, and I don't blame them, but I will say if you were a non-biased observer and you said, who needs a win more today, the Kings or Huddersfield Town over Preston North End? The Town needs it about like literally 35 times more.
Well, I'm biased.
Yeah. So am
I am also biased.
I know. 1 point ahead of relegation with just a handful left. Preston's.
Aren't the Kings kind of in the relegation mode?
No, God, that is the thing, man. Like,
play-in versus playoffs?
It is such an insane penalty to get relegated. Like, it's almost, I don't like it. I thought I liked it before. Now that a team I love is involved in it, like, it's too much. It's like almost a death penalty.
The Kings would have been a death penalty.
They would, dude, the Kings would have been in the H League.
Yeah, in the defunct CBA.
Yes.
And in the chasm of soccer fans and watching a game today, Manchester City plays Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Use the word chasm.
It is.
just so people, like, let me put that in American terms here. That in like normal non-soccer terms. That's like I came in and I was talking about how like I need to make more money. My child is malnourished, and she's really struggling right now with walking around because her blood sugar's so low. And then Chris is like, well, in other news, also, we're all going to the Morton's Buffet today, and I just don't know what to order. Like, that's
his, it's a really tough one.
That's his world of problems.
Hey, and the Yankees play the Marlins.
Right, exactly. Exactly. It is, man, just imagine a world. First, well, the best thing is, there's no tanking. Like, you want to solve tanking? Relegation instantly solves tanking. There is no tanking. But just imagine a world where you're rooting for whatever. Yes. The Niners, the Yankees, the Kings, whatever. And instead of worrying about, well, you know, might not make the playoffs or might finish last or, well, time to move on to next year. It's like, nope. Jason, if you guys don't finish a game ahead of the Twins who are in last place, you're a AAA team next year. And then you have to be top two in your league just to get back to Major League Baseball.
Oh, also all those players that you like, probably gone.
Yeah, Aaron Judge, not playing in AAA. You can't afford it anyways. Yeah. You just lost half your salary cap.
I would have been regulated in our pool.
Relegated?
Relegated.
Too. Yeah. Regulated. Either way. Yeah.
It's different in the pool.
Remember when so last night I sent you that text?
I saw it today.
Yeah, it was whatever.
Yeah.
It was like a pointless text. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but you would have had a perfect bracket.
Utah State screwed me
up. Perfect region.
Perfect region out of Midwest. Finished 49th. It's respectable. Top 50, whatever. That's a respectable job. Yeah. congratulations to the winners, of which I don't know. I know Courtney. I don't know the other ones.
Not Sean Cunningham.
Sean Cunningham and Sean James and Sheritz, our former PD. Like, had Purdue won, three of the winners we know really, really well. UConn won, and they lost a lot of play money. A lot of makeup, fun Monopoly money in
Thanks,
that one.
Thanks, Zach Edey.
Yeah, Zach Edey. Yeah. Farhan Zakidi. Wait, Zakidi, is that a CNN? No, that's a...
It's an Italian dish.
Yes, with zucchini.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, where are we going there? Brackets. And then I was looking...
Regulation.
I was looking at the bottom. Yeah, I went all the way down to the bottom. I was like, oh, that is a... It was a tough bracket for the Ross family.
Yes, a couple of us down there. Yeah. Hey, if you're not first, you're last.
First, you're last. And was I right there? Because
I was point shaming.
I think you kind of.
I took some money.
Are you Shohei Ross?
Yes.
Is there something?
My interpreter was really off.
Now, am I right that the very, very, very last place person is also a relative of yours?
Correct. Sister-in-law.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, that's a rough. But you know what? Like you said, doesn't matter if you finished in 10th or dead last. Same amount of play money.
Correct.
It makes me think, though, like, what would, really putting us in that world, what would it have been like in this town? Like, for example, right now, let's say instead of the Kings fighting, like, let's say the sixth spot that they're fighting for with the Suns and the Pelicans and kind of the Lakers. What if that was the relegation line? Mm. And what would our shows be, and what would this town be right now if we don't catch Phoenix, for example? We have to play all next year in the G League.
Yeah.
And then, like, well, I guess in this case, the Sox.
Truly, Wolodies.
Wolodies. Yeah. Like, it adds a whole new level of depression and angst and anxiety to the whole thing. It's almost too much to put. I think it's home. That is why I think I've figured it out over the last year, really being embedded in this stuff. I think that's why there's so many absolute whack jobs over there that are soccer fans. Like, that's why. Because it's way too much pressure to put
healthy
on these
or
people.
Not whack jobs.
Whack-a-doodle dandies. Oh. Oh, okay. No feather in the cap and no macaroni. Mm. None of that stuff. Like, just, I think that's why they're always beating the hell out of each other and getting hammered. It's because it's too much for a human being to deal with.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, you know, guys like Chris are over there in Morton's like, yes, well,
our team has nothing to worry about.
We've got
to,
you know what we do. I mean, we're looking for our fourth title in 4 years, and then, you know, the Champions League. I don't know. Are we going to put a new muffler on the Benz, or are we going to go electric? I just, oh, yeah, you have problems too there, you and the pores. That's what he's dealing with.
That sounds like Chris.
Saw Chris socially last night.
Yeah. We were out and about. We were in the wild.
We were hanging.
Yeah.
Like dudes. Just chilling.
I felt it was an honor to meet Steven.
Yes. Met Steven. Talk to him.
He's up already. I know it.
It was okay.
Oh, Chris.
Wow, Chris. That's terrible.
Yeah. He is a big fan of the show.
He is a big fan of the show. Yeah. He's a big fan. He was out there. He's
very nice.
Very sweet guy. It was super nice of him to show up. Some folks, I guess they had reserved booths as part of the deal.
Yeah.
It was super nice. A lot of really cool to meet.
It was a stunner, though, when you walked in the room. It's like the world stopped.
I didn't. And the thing is I.
And Chris said something funny.
Yeah, he did. Chris's first reactions are generally the best ones.
Yes.
And it was genuine.
It was genuine.
Hey, what did you say again, Chris?
I just, what the hell?
I thought it was something else, but yeah, it was what the something. I'm not going to lie. I didn't tell you this last night, but I actually got there about 5 minutes before I walked in. Shut up. Here, Chris. I did. And I was like, how do I just sneak in? Like, I just want to come in and sit down and not. Can I just sneak? Is there a way I can sneak?
That's a tough place to sneak in.
It is.
Actually, in hindsight, the door you ended up going out if you just kind of like popped in and like, oh, I was here.
Yeah. That I didn't know that existed.
I didn't either.
I came in the front door and I just kind of tried, you know, hands in my pockets, just try to come over, little hat on. You know, I just wanted to support.
Right.
say hi.
It was a good turnout.
It was a really good turnout. Thanks to everybody there at the field house for showing up. And I will say this, though, because I'm in radio, and of course we all have our own little picadillos and egos. One thing that did hit me when I was there was like, where was all this when we did remotes? Like the whole, it was pretty much the whole station, but yeah. Whitey and Kyle there.
Right.
So like the whole station's out there.
And the other Kyle.
And the other Kyle.
Yeah.
Oh, the other, yeah, the two Kyle. Interesting.
He would have eaten everything.
Yeah. Why wasn't, was he running the board or something?
No.
Why wasn't little Kyle out there? Young Kyle. That's weird. Free food.
Yeah.
What is he doing? But yeah, it was a good turnout. Half our sales staff was there.
Yeah.
Scotty the Body
Some
Marsh.
Management.
Bill Louie was out there. Yeah, the management was out there. I mean, the whole thing was just really, really
supportive
cool.
of the fastest growing show in all of the land.
In all of the land.
Yeah.
And I feel like, if I'm being honest, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but does last night, like, that gets me good for like 2 or 3 years, right, as far as remotes and stuff.
You've avoided relegation.
I think so. That's exactly what, yeah. Like, get out. And it
might be longer than that. Because then people are like, I don't remember. Oh, no, Dave was at.
Oh, yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
I just went to one.
Yeah.
Wasn't even mine.
Right.
Nobody got. Yeah, we weren't getting nothing.
I think you're probably good to like 2030.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Maybe the last appearance ever.
Yeah.
Yes. Because I found that it's weird. I thought it was when you get older, you're supposed to get more social. Is that not how? Because that's
you were plenty social there.
Once I was there.
Yeah.
But then, you know.
So what were you thinking about in the car? You're like, just seriously, how can I sneak in?
Yes, 100%. Like, I want to go out. It did kind of hit me yesterday.
What if you wore a mask?
If I wore like,
not
yes.
a,
yeah.
like a.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like a full, like a Richard Nixon mask. I still feel like they would have known.
Yeah.
Like, at least our people would have known.
Hey, Richard Nixon's here.
The body shape, yes. No, the ride home, though, I was just like, I'm not going to lie. The ride home was like, okay, we're good. Deep breath. We're good. And
it.
I was very proud of myself. I stayed longer than I thought I was going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I was there for like at least probably 40 minutes.
Yeah, you were there a good
amount of time. 30 minutes, 40 mm-hmm. minutes.
And then plus he didn't say goodbye to anybody, so everyone thought that you were there longer.
Yes. That's the point.
I thought you said goodbye.
I said goodbye to our listeners. I did make sure to say goodbye to all them.
I
said goodbye to you. You were right by the door. But I didn't do the whole like, hey, there I did. Yeah. Okay. And then it's like 30 minutes later, you're finally.
I'm with you on that. I would like to get in and like you're there and then leave without like a scene.
100%.
And then good.
And I didn't know what the food situation was, so I just got something to share with people. But I also knew that I'd food waiting for me at home. And honestly, after last night, and had I known then what I knew then, if I knew when I was at the place, what I found out, what I know now, there I would eat, I would order more food.
That good, huh?
My wife is trying new things. God bless her. And she followed the recipe. Have you ever had Mississippi pot roast? Which sounds like a Urban Dictionary thing.
I dabble in college.
Okay. So, these are Mississippi pork chops. You basically put pork chops in a crock pot along with like an entire, you know, those little green pepperoncinis, you know, you pour the whole thing in there with the juice and everything, a couple packets of like, I don't know, onion soup mix or something like that, a couple of veggies, whatever. And the whole point is it's very tangy, a little spicy, whatever thing. It was spicier than that. Well, it wasn't crazy spicy going down, but let's just say.
Has there been a, there's already been an exit?
Oh, yeah. Multiple.
Oh.
Let's say there, the New Jersey Turnpike is happening right now. And
keep it moving.
Yeah, keep it moving. It feels like I took a Hall's cough drop suppository right now.
Oh, smooth.
Smooth.
Yeah. Gross.
Supposedly refreshing.
Yeah.
But very, very menthol-y. So
interesting.
I can't confirm or deny this. You probably have nothing to worry about today because I ain't trusting anything. But if in fact that
you
changes
have to depart for a little bit, we know why.
Maybe. Yes, maybe. I think we're good. I was thinking more of the studio atmosphere may not be ideal for you today, and if that's the case, I apologize.
It's okay. I want to say I'm used to it. Not from you.
No.
From others I get to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a whole different Donahue. We'll take a break. Welcome in, everybody. Love you. Love your show. Good to see all of you out there. When we come back, we got a big show for you today. Jason, I think there's a typo here. I know we shouldn't do this stuff on the air. Because at 7 a.m., it says that we have the legendary Gary Gerald joining us from Oklahoma City. And there's just, that's too good of a get for us.
That's confirmed.
Is that confirmed?
Yes.
Wow.
The G-Man.
You put him at 7, though?
This was by request from the G-Man. You remember it's 9 there. He's, you know, he's got work. I said, hey, G-Man, you know, prime time, 8 o'clock, sure. With like the big heavy hitters. It's like, well, I'm working. I'm going to be at shoot around.
Yeah. No, I understand. I mean, no, it's
the final week, Dave. It's crunch time.
I understand. And honestly, we'll take him at any time. I was just, the ideal time to have G-Man on, honestly, is 9:45.
Yeah.
Because what are we doing after? What are we going to do after he gets off the...
That's true.
What's the rest of... The show should be over.
I think he should be in for all four.
Ask him. So he'll join us at 7 a.m. Kings OKC tonight. We have a national champion. And we were just talking about women's head coaches in the NBA. We might have an update for you. Big show for you leading off next.
Let's do it. Leading off, the three top stories in the morning.
Huge news. This is very important.
Here's cut number one.
Keon Ellis, he'll try for three. It's no good. And now with just 18 seconds to go, shot clocked off. Mark Degnault's club will keep the record intact of not losing three consecutive games at any time this season. The Thunder will record their 36th win against 17 losses. They will break a losing streak against Sacramento, where the Kings had won the last 8 meetings. And the final score in this one is 127-113. Thunder get the win, and the Kings will start thinking about moving on to play the red-hot Phoenix Suns.
Hey, you know what, Jason? No. I'm Dikembe-ing that.
Yeah, not allowing it.
Beat the pass out to Monk. 2 on the clock. Got to shoot it off the bounce for 2. It's no good. Rebound. Tip back out on the wing, and Harrison Barnes has it. And that will basically do it for Sacramento. 10 seconds to go. The light the beam chant thundering through Golden One Center as Harrison Barnes tees up a 3. It's no good. Back tap by Sabonis. Herter has it. The horn sounds, and the Kings have won their season tournament opener in a pursuit of the NBA Cup by a final score of 105-98.
Hey, remember that?
I remember that. Honestly, one of my top 5 in-season cup memories in my life was that game.
In your life?
In your life. Yes, it was. Oh, that moment.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. Yeah.
Think that Thunder.
Yeah, Thunder. Start out with a win.
Yeah.
Kings Thunder tonight. The final game of the road trip before they come home to play the Pelicans. I was thinking about this too last night. Just again, this is the sickness of being a Kings fan. I was like, I don't know who's going to win tonight. Like, honestly, it's going to be a hopefully a fun game, but I'm just like already like thinking ahead. No matter what happens tonight, like you're coming home off an East Coast 4-game road trip to play the Pelicans, who have absolutely waxed you all year long. Like, I feel like the line, if Vegas is smart, the line for that Kings Pelicans game should be like Pelicans by 12.5. It's not gonna be. It'll probably be King. It'll probably be even or Kings 1.5. But you have the. Would it be fair to say the Pelicans have been the Kings' worst matchup this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, right? No one else has beaten them 4 times.
No, and only one of them was even. If I remember correctly, only the one in New Orleans was only one of them was a good game even. And then on top of that, like them coming back from a road trip is notoriously terrible. So, but hey. A lot going on, Jason.
Yeah.
The Suns hosting the Clippers tonight. The Pelicans playing in Portland. Obviously, the Kings and OKC. There's a lot going
on.
Lakers, Warriors.
Yeah. There's a lot to follow this evening. And, I mean, yeah, some of the things we're going to go over a little bit later, like the best-case scenario, worst-case scenario for tonight, there's plenty of things to root for. And first and foremost, is the Kings finding a way to beat OKC.
Just beat them. I mean, yeah. And it's just not. It's not like OKC is really playing for anything. I mean, they're a game out of the one seed.
Yeah.
Just look. If the season ended today, they're the three seed and they play the Suns. That's an easy. Wouldn't you rather play the Suns than the Pelicans or Kings?
Well, and yeah, the other thing you could do is if you're the Kings, if you beat them, you help your chances of being six. You hurt their chances of being one or two. I mean, this could be, in a perfect world, like in the world the Kings want to get to as sixth, this could be your playoff matchup. If they get to where they want to, which yes. I think will be difficult, but this could be your playoff matchup.
Not to mention, too, well, let's see. The Mavericks right now are 31-20 in conference. The Kings are 29-19. I don't know how that works. Do they even play the same amount of in-conference games?
No, right? Dallas still has, you know, I think they play Detroit
yeah.
and Charlotte still.
Well, you've got the Thunder, the Pelicans, the Suns. So every game yeah. the Kings play from here on out is in conference. So they're still, I mean, again, Dallas is a little blue sky, if you will. But, you know, stranger things have happened, right?
Right.
Like that eclipse. That's what I forgot to add. I go home yesterday. I'm eating I turned the Euro meat into a wrap because we were out of pitas, apparently. Not like a, hey, I'm a Euro, like that, a wrap, W-R-A-P. And I turn on the TV and one of the news channels, it might have been NBC, it was like, eclipse around the country. Oh my God, people were losing their minds.
Well, it's far different in other places, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't much of anything here.
It wasn't, but
Like for it to be dark for whatever they said, like 6 to 10 minutes in Texas or what, like the peak.
Right.
Area, 100% darkness.
And they were like legit going. Like they,
well, yeah, like animals were freaking out and all that stuff.
Yeah, they. Well, I know I did see that like an ostrich laid an egg.
Oh,
like for real,
the eclipse egg.
The
rare known eclipse egg.
The rare known.
Gross.
We had a correspondent out
darkness.
There.
The darkness that we are experiencing. And by the way, our temperature has dropped. We're down to 72 degrees. I can even see a blue spot right there. Come on. We've got 4 minutes. The crowd is willing it. Yeah! We can see it. Just for a minute. Just for a second. But I'll take it. I will take it. Yeah.
Eclipse Emily was really into it.
Jeez. Sounds a little like the morning we got the A's.
Would you like to expand on that?
Just there were some people in town, I think, that were incredibly excited, but instead of the Eclipse, it was the A's.
Yeah.
There's nothing really to expand on. Someday, Chris, you're going to die. And I'll probably die first, but we're going to meet each other in hell, and I'm just going to kick you right in the nuts. But it's hell, so you'll be used to it. But we'll be right next to each other.
He kicked me right in the dingle.
That's right. Cut number two, please.
Cut number two.
Oh, yeah.
It is a UConn coronation. The Huskies make history. Back-to-back national champions.
Huskery.
Number one lives up to the billing.
Okay. UConn. Not MeCon. UConn. Repeats. It's national champion. I've noticed UConn. Okay, I'm just going to throw something out there and see if it sticks. And I don't have the proper context nor history in front of me to make this work. I found myself towards the end of the game last night looking at UConn and going, I think this might be the most well-coached college team I've ever seen in my life. Throughout the tournament, anytime they were challenged, we talk about adjustments. It's like, oh, it's wow, they're actually getting challenged. It's close. Oh, wait, it's a 22-point lead.
Yeah.
I thought their strategy was perfect yesterday. And the way, not just that they dealt with Zach Edey, who got his own, but it was like, okay, he's going to get his. We're going to focus on everyone else.
He missed a lot, too.
He did miss a lot near the basket.
To their credit, to UConn's credit.
But they're so unselfish. They regularly run. The thing I think that was most impressive is the way they ran their offense with such patience. And Purdue's playing great defense for 20, 23 seconds, whatever, and then
boom,
they convert. The IQ is off the charts, and that's obviously players, but I think Dan Hurley is fantastic.
Purdue would maybe sneak in a little full court pressure, boom, 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 three passes, layup, or dunk.
Yes.
All right, they were ready for that, carve that up. It actually didn't feel like it was really that close. I know they ended up winning kind of comfortably, but it just – I never felt like Purdue was going to win. In the first half, they were okay. Mm-hmm. But as the second half went along, I'm like, yeah, this feels like a mismatch.
What was Purdue's biggest lead, like 3 or 5 or something
early
like that?
On,
yeah, early on. And then UConn just – this is always my go-to comparison for this situation, but UConn was very Floyd Mayweather-y in his prime, where Floyd was famous for the first 2 or 3 rounds, maybe even longer. It's like, oh, we might have a fight here. He's really taking it to Floyd, and then inevitably, regardless of who he was fighting, Floyd would just like download the schematics and then just shut the guy out the rest of the way and had this unanimous decision. And that's how I felt like UConn, where they just downloaded, oh, okay, this is what they're doing. All right, so this, let's move this chess piece here, here, and here, and voila.
Yeah.
Nobody really on UConn. They don't have any, you know, star powery. I mean, no disrespect to the guys, but there's no Zach Edey's. There's no Caitlin Clark's. There's no, it's just a team of really good, solid players.
Yeah.
So, not as entertaining as the women's game.
No.
By the way.
No.
And we'll talk about that a little bit next. We got to take a break. When we return, UConn wins. The Hurley dynasty is a real thing. And we have some numbers on the women's tournament that if you're wearing socks, get ready for them to get blown off, because they are eye-popping. And just, I know we've got a break, but Jason, I felt like last night compared to Sunday afternoon, when you looked at the energy between the two games, not that it was a dead crowd or anything, but there was just far more of an electricity, far more of an energy around the women's final than the men's final. And honestly, maybe the men need to switch to electric full time at the behest of our friends at American Energy Heating and Air. I thought I caught Chris there playing a Royal Match or something, but I don't know what he was doing. I never know what he's doing on his phone. It's none of my business. Do whatever he wants. Yeah. Switch to American Energy's idea of electric only and get rid of those stupid PG&E bills that nobody likes. Nobody likes them. Remember that one time you were like, hey, here's the PG&E bill. I'm so happy. Yeah, it's literally never happened. Well, figure it out. Get a high efficiency system installed by American Energy and say bye-bye to all those fluctuations. Tons of spring specials. Huge rebates from Smut as well, up to $9,000. And all you got to do is have American Energy come out to your house and perform a free energy efficiency analysis. And they can point out where you can save money for free. Like, legit, they will come out, no cost. Hey, if you do this, 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 and this, you can save this, this, and this. Oh, my God, thank you so much, American Energy. I love you guys. That's what you'll sound like. 916-520-9990. Call 916-520-9990 now. Tell them American, tell them Carmichael Faves sent American Energy, making the uncomfortable comfortable. When we come back, UConn wins, and the women's ratings are in. Woof. Pretty crazy. We'll talk about it next.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sactown Sports.
A UConn coronation. The Huskies make history back to back. champions. Number one lives up to the billing. They defeat Purdue 75-60. They've done it again.
Hey, I got a question for you, Carmichael Dave.
I got an answer for you, Jason Ross.
I know you like to talk about play-by-play guys, broadcasters,
yep,
or gals as well. I'm a big fan of Ian Eagle.
I am too.
I think that, I mean, Jim Nance is fantastic. But it was a nice, I don't know, I didn't need Jim Nance gone by any means, but Ian Eagle there is going to be great.
There, I agree with you. By the way, I 100% agree with you. Ian Eagle is going to be fantastic. And I forget where I was, but I only had video. I didn't have audio. And they had like Jim Nance. I think it was over the weekend, maybe. It was the start of the Final Four. And Jim Nance like showed up in like a...
he's like a fan, right?
Right. And I'm like, is he just there to be there to be there? Or like, what is he doing? So he's just...
Hello, friends.
He's pulling it back, I guess.
Yeah. Keeping football and golf.
Well... He better, if I'm him, I mean, arguably being the voice of the Masters, you can make an argument that that is the best gig. Like, Jim Nance has the best gigs. And
it's pretty great.
And the fact that Jim Nance lives off one of the holes at Pebble Beach and has a par 3 hole in his backyard and a PA system where every year, traditionally, he'll have a bunch of pros over and they sit around and drink wine and have a par 3 contest while he announces it. And he's also been known to show up around some of the tees at Pebble Beach. There's a video of some random golfer dudes out there, and Nance is on the tee, and they ask Nance to call the shot. And the guy's like literally, his hands are shaking because Jim Nance is about to call his shot out loud. I couldn't do it, dude.
Would you rather, though, like, honestly, if you and I went out there and Jim Nance happens to be there, like, hey, caller. I mean, I would authentically try my best, but would it be more memorable if you just shanked?
It would be more memorable.
Because, like, if you hit a good one for you and I, and it's like, oh, he pipes it down there for 220 yards, well short of what he needed on this par 5. But, like, instead, it's like, boy, Ross may want to re-tee up that one. That was a grounder and did not pass the ladies' tee.
Hello, friends. That tee box was not his friend. The one interview nobody wants to hear on this show, I can promise you that. I'll just tell you right now. If you ever hear that we book Jim Nance, just find something else to do. Because the amount, especially on YouTube, because the puddle of slobber in front of me, like, I don't know that there's too many other people I would slobber that much over. Yeah. Like, I've gotten through two interviews with Will Clark before.
Yeah.
Pretty dry. Like, Jim Nance is, remember that one time when your first year doing the Masters and Jack Nicklaus won it in 86? Like,
us about it.
Yeah. That was great. Yeah. And we're like, God forbid we're out at Pebble Beach, which we used to do every year, which we need to start again. And he sits down with us. The whole thing, I'd just be, hey, Jim. Hello, friend. Can I be your friend? Can you hello friend me?
Can I call you James?
We got to look. The men's tournament was great and blah, blah. The women's tournament's the story. We don't know what the numbers are going to be. But it's an almost absolute lock that Iowa, South Carolina will pull bigger numbers for their championship.
Oh, for sure. And for multiple reasons. One, just everything that was trending. And two, what a huge advantage for them. Not that they even needed it, but ABC versus TBS.
Also, Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern versus midday.
Afternoon. But they didn't need any help. You could have put them at the worst time on a terrible channel and the women would have crushed it.
Have you happened to have taken a gander at the numbers? Yep.
I thought I saw something, but I don't know.
The Iowa-South Carolina National Championship game averaged 18.7 million viewers. Now, where does that rank with women's basketball over the last 5 years? It's number one.
Yeah.
Where does that rank? Where does that rank with college basketball over the last 5 years? It's number one. Now, in the category of like NBA, though, when it comes to most watched games over the last 5 years, it's number one.
Yeah.
Finals, game sevens, game fours, any playoff game, Any regular season game on ABC on a Sunday?
Steph, LeBron.
Any of it.
Luka, Giannis.
No basketball game, pro or collegiate, over the last 5 years has been watched more than Iowa, South Carolina.
I don't know the answer to why. I mean, I watched them all.
And you can't say this without sounding disrespectful, and I couldn't be more respectful when I say this, but that's called the Caitlin Clark effect.
Mm-hmm.
And coming up at 7:30, we need to talk about that because I can think of one person. In fact, y'all have 50 minutes to come up with this. The only comparison I can think of, top of my head, to compare to Caitlin Clark and what her effect has been on the sport, ratings-wise, is Tiger Woods. It's the only thing I can think of. So I know there's others that we can throw out there, but I don't know if there's one that we can think of that belongs in that category. We'll take another break. When we come back, safe or out, is a Giants season over effectively? 11 games into the year. We'll talk about that. We got other baseball questions for you as well, including one about play-by-play. Speaking of, we'll do that next.
Safe or out. It's time to go around baseball. Three pitches, three swings. It's safe or out on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
I showed my wife that clip of the end of WrestleMania with The Undertaker and The Rock and all that stuff. Like, she actually grew up a huge wrestling fan.
Now she's back in.
And The Undertaker was her favorite.
It's scary how close your wife and eyes, like...
You, honestly, you're 100%.
Growing up, like, very similar.
You would love hanging out with... Well, you've hung out with... But you guys, you're both snarky asses. You both have no problem seeing the bottom of a bottle, having a good time. You both love wrestling.
And so you married Chris.
I basically married Chris for a lot in female version. Far prettier. No offense, Chris. And so I showed her the whole thing. And then I noticed something I hadn't noticed before when I first watched it. Because, again, not a wrestling guy, but respect it. I felt such a bond with John Cena when he was trying to run into the ring, yet also you could tell in the back of his mind, he's like, don't fall, don't slip, and don't hurt your hamstrings. Yeah. Like, it wasn't a sprint. It was like
an awkward run.
It was kind of a gallop.
It was a run like he had to go to the bathroom.
Like he had something going on, and then he slides face first in, and then I don't have this issue, thank God, but you could also tell with him, the bald spot's growing a little bit. It's Father Time's working.
Yeah, and it was bothering him.
You could tell it was very much bothering him, in between body slamming people into tables and looking scared about The Rock. Thing is, everybody gets slammed there, and then they just die.
Yeah.
They don't move. Sleep. Again, the ref was completely absent. It's bloodline rules.
How about we get someone to slam you and see how long it takes you to get up?
I have no comeback to that. I don't.
Chris, remember what happened the last time you suggested that?
I got a wrestler in here to put a hold on somebody.
Yeah,
that's.
It didn't go well.
I've seen those in person. I was the guy before it became du jour. I was the guy that one time back in the day in the early 2000s was like, hey, I'll bet you those kicks aren't that bad. Why, give me one of those leg kicks, Scott Smith.
Yeah.
But only 50%.
I remember that.
Do you remember that?
How are those? Is your midsection still okay from Sugar Ray Leonard?
Dude, I've been hit in the midsection by Sugar Ray Leonard. I've been kicked in the leg by both Scott Smith and Uriah Faber in the thigh. And then, by the way, after Scott kicked me in the leg and I kind of had my hand on my knees, like I was kind of a little doubled over, like, God dang, I want to go down. Do you remember this? Scott decides to follow it up with the old taparoo.
You shouldn't be allowed to do that as a professional fighter.
Thank you. Frickin' professional fighter comes in and ding. It was not a great day. Anyways, Three for Madness is coming up at 7:13.
Yes, it is.
Safer out right now, Chris Verlaine.
Safer out at 4-7 and 2.5 out of the wild card. The Giants season is effectively over with 151 games to play.
Now, just so you know, not only is that safe, but just putting literally putting money where our mouth is, you know, 1-800-GAMBLER, and I'm not a gambler, but I literally now have four bets with four different Twitter users that I made last night, giving them 2-1 odds against the Giants making the wild card. Like, yeah. First off, you weren't going to beat the Dodgers anyways. You weren't winning the NL West, of course, but this is just not a good team, and I understand 11 games in. And by the way, I also think Blake Snell's debut last night, people are going to weigh – it wasn't great, but they're going to way overweight it. Like, he didn't have a spring training. He's a good – he'll be fine. He'll be fine. I don't think – I don't think Mike Yastrzemski's going to bat like Chris Verlade would if he were called up to the big league. I think eventually he'll at least not be a complete drag on the team, but – this is not a good team. Zaidi did not have a good offseason, and they're a mishmash. Yeah, 151 games left, and okay, it's over.
Wow.
I mean, I'm telling you, their season's over.
It's over.
There's no wild card. There's no NL.
So the A's are going to be better than them.
No, I think the A's
they basically
still be,
have the same record.
They do right now. I am very confident in saying I think the Giants will have. I would say the Giants will probably have around 25 to 30 more wins than the A's.
30,
yeah, because
they're going to be competing for a wild card.
Well, I think
spot
the A's are going to finish probably with like 50, 48, 50 wins.
So there's 80. That's gonna be close to the wild card.
It will be
maybe.
Yeah.
I watched some of that game last night and watched. I wanted to see Blake Snell. To your point, first game, all that. Man, is he? I did not realize this until I saw the stat that they put up there. He's the first pitcher ever to lead the league in ERA while allowing the most walks.
Yeah.
Every batter was three ball. I mean, it was a 3-0 count or 3-2. He had 70-something pitches in three innings. Walked a bunch of guys. I went, oh, my gosh. I didn't know he was that much of a work.
He's a pitcher that has to have run support.
I guess,
he has to have run support. And by the way, he's also a drag on even the best Blake Snell's drag on your bullpen because this dude's not going into the ninth. Yeah. He's not going into the eighth. You're going to see almost every start's going to be a quality start, but it's going to be a 5-6, maybe a 7-inning start occasionally because of what you just said. So, yeah. Number two, please.
Safer out. The Yankees are actually the most watchable team in baseball.
I think so far that's safe. Really, I do. Look, and with apologies to the Dodgers, who you can make a very good argument for, but Juan Soto has found a home.
Yes, he has.
He has found a home, and that's just not fair. If Juan Soto is going to have the year he's having right now,
and the Judge isn't even hitting.
That's the thing, dude. Yeah. It's going to be unfair, but they're going to be a hell of an exciting team to watch.
If Stanton can ever be healthy started out healthy, it's. I mean, this is a first. Officially, I've watched some of every Yankee game. So
look at
far.
You.
Every one. I'm proud of that.
Is Mike Stanton. I know him as Giancarlo, but is Mike Stanton, is he the Anthony Davis of baseball? Except not this year's Anthony Davis. He's like the street clothes of baseball. Can't imagine what he'd be like if he had health of any kind.
Right.
Number three, please. Safer out.
Safer out. Baseball radio play-by-play is the best play-by-play.
Safe with an asterisk. Gary Jerk.
Yeah.
He's the best play-by-play. But I think overall, because I think the thing about baseball play-by-play is you can have it in the background and you know when something's going to, like, you can just come back to it when there's a situation or if there's a whole, you hear high drive and you're like, but then you can multitask. You can't really do that with basketball or football.
No, there's a lot going on, too much movement, too many plays. Yeah. It's like baseball, you can just, it is background noise, but it's great.
But shout out, I still, to this day, hockey is the most difficult play-by-play. It's got to be.
Brutal.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Between the names and the action. Bleh. When we come back, Gary Gerald.
Yes.
Will, join.
He's done play-by-play for a ton of things.
It's pronounced Gary, correct?
Yeah, he still goes by that.
I want to get it right.
Yeah.
Gary Gerald, radio voice, Sacramento Kings, live from Oklahoma City.
Woo.
Our honor, our privilege, your honor, your privilege. All rise for Gary Gerald coming up next.